Here's a sobering reality. Every single day, hundreds of people wake up as technical experts and go to sleep as managers, with zero training in between. One day, you're the best engineer, analyst, or salesperson on the team. The next, you're responsible for a dozen people who expect you to know what you're doing. This jarring transition explains why so many organizations stumble, why talented individual contributors become mediocre managers, and why leadership feels like a mystery wrapped in corporate jargon. What we need isn't another management fad or motivational platitude. We need timeless principles that actually work when the conference room door closes and real decisions must be made. Management didn't always look like this. Picture Frederick Taylor in 1911, clipboard in hand, timing factory workers with a stopwatch, treating humans like machines that needed optimization. His scientific management worked brilliantly for making widgets. Then came the knowledge economy, and everything broke. You can't measure creativity with a stopwatch. You can't force innovation through oversight. You can't control ideas the way you control assembly lines. Peter Drucker saw this shift after World War II and fundamentally redefined what managers actually do. Knowledge workers, people whose contributions live in their minds rather than their hands, need something different. They need objectives, not just orders. They need motivation, not just monitoring. They need development, not just direction. This led to a revolutionary insight. Management without leadership creates stagnant organizations, but leadership without chaos. Managers focus on systems and efficiency. Leaders focus on people and vision. Managers ask how and when. Leaders ask what and why. Today's effective manager must do both, administering while innovating, controlling while inspiring trust. This paradox hits hardest for middle managers, who comprise up to 20% of the American workforce, yet must influence without power and innovate without disrupting. Jim Collins spent years researching companies that went from good to great, expecting to find charismatic visionaries. Instead, he discovered something unsettling. The most successful CEOs were often shy, awkward, and unremarkable. These level 5 leaders combined personal humility with professional will, channeling ambition toward building institutions rather than personal fame. They use we instead of I and grow up inside their organizations rather than arriving as saviors. Effective leadership requires situational fluidity. The right approach isn't determined by your personality, but by your followers' needs in that moment. During crises, great leaders face reality without seeking quick fixes and use the crisis as opportunity for change. Exceptional performance isn't driven by money. Jim Collins found no link between executive pay and companies going from good to great. Financial incentives work for simple tasks, but breed resentment in complex team environments where performance is hard to measure fairly. What truly drives performance? Once basic needs are met, people seek self-actualization. As Drucker wrote, making a living is no longer enough. Work also has to make a life. Your job is ensuring your team believes organizational goals are worthwhile and that they play a significant role in achieving them. Tracy Kidder's The Soul of a New Machine captures this. Data general engineers worked brutal hours not for money, but because they believed they were building something extraordinary. Jack Welch devoted 50% of his time to people issues. His hiring philosophy? Test for integrity, intelligence, and maturity, then evaluate the 4 E's: positive energy, ability to energize others, edge to make tough decisions, and ability to execute. Finally, seek authentic passion. On firing, no surprises and minimize humiliation. The best performance evaluations emphasize dialogue over judgment, focus on successes, criticize behaviors without undermining value, provide timely feedback, and set future goals. Gallup shows high performers have 5 engaged employees for every disengaged one. Foster engagement by ensuring people feel involved in decisions, believe their work matters, can voice opinions, have development opportunities, and receive genuine recognition. Without clear direction, you'll spend your career reacting to demands from every direction. Strategic thinking operates on three levels: mission, what you're setting out to do, strategy, realistic plan for accomplishing it, and goals, specific objectives with timelines. Johnson & Johnson's credo exemplifies this, prioritizing doctors and patients first, then employees, communities, and finally shareholders. This hierarchy guides decisions when interests collide. Michael Porter views strategy as escaping perfect competition through five competitive forces: entry barriers, substitution threats, bargaining power of buyers and suppliers, and rivalry. He identifies three approaches: cost leadership, Walmart, differentiation, Apple, and segment focus. Kim and Mauborn's Blue Ocean strategy challenges this as too static, advocating for creating uncontested market space. Cirque du Soleil exemplifies this, eliminating animals and star performers while combining dance, music, and athletic skill for upscale adults rather than competing in the declining traditional circus industry. Effective strategy requires assessing your environment, evaluating organizational strengths, and creating alignment. Establish goals that are concise, measurable, time-bound, and challenging yet achievable. New strategies fail 70 to 90% of the time because measurement tools lag behind economic changes. Adopt a balanced scorecard with metrics that track progress, communicate strategy throughout the organization, and align individual performance with strategic objectives. Strategy and execution are inseparable. Taiwan Semiconductor's Morris Chang captured it. Without strategy, execution is aimless. Without execution, strategy is useless. Larry Bossidy proved this at Allied Signal, tripling operating margins and increasing shareholder returns ninefold by treating execution as a leader's primary job. Execution culture rewards people who deliver results. Peters and Waterman's In Search of Excellence identifies this bias for action as the hallmark of excellent companies, criticizing paralysis through analysis. Top companies bypass bureaucracy through ad hoc teams and task forces. Candor solves most organizational problems. Great organizations embody Jim Collins's Stockdale paradox, unwavering faith they'll prevail while confronting brutal facts. Creating candor means insisting on it, actively soliciting intelligence, and welcoming troubling information. Managing without micromanaging requires setting concrete, mutually agreed goals that are attainable and measurable, with regular accountability, insisting on action culture, and maintaining candor where information flows freely in both directions. Change accelerates relentlessly. By 2008, 83% of CEOs faced substantial change, up from 65% 2 years earlier. Technology drives this. Facebook reached 50 million users in 2 years versus radio's 38 years. Even dominant companies stumble. IBM missed mini computers, digital equipment missed PCs, Apple missed portables, each despite leading their previous category. Managing rapid change requires empowering employees to decide, involving them strategically, creating cultures of candor and action, and deploying ad hoc teams. When major shifts become necessary, create understanding of why change matters, look outward for solutions, shift resources toward initiatives, and build coalitions of influential supporters. One uncomfortable truth: successful management requires putting organizational needs above personal ones. Your job is nurturing others and finding satisfaction in collective achievement. Many instincts that drove previous success now need suppression. Don't always win arguments. It discourages debate. Avoid constantly improving ideas with buts and howevers. Resist snap judgments and sarcasm. Never say, "I already knew that." Don't speak when angry. Share information widely. Give proper credit. Admit mistakes quickly. Most importantly, listen. You're now dependent on others' collective wisdom. Delegation is among your most crucial yet difficult responsibilities. Even if you're better at every task, doing everything yourself is impossible. Understand comparative advantage. Determine where each employee contributes most value relative to others, and focus your efforts where you add the most value. Your job is holding employees to the highest standard they can achieve, not your standard. Great leaders gain authority by giving it away. In a world where job terminations are commonplace and careers rarely follow linear paths, maintain perspective. Your job is not a replacement for friends and family. Think of your career as continuing education, accumulating skills and experiences for whatever comes next. Management is an art, not a science, dealing with human complexities in a world where technology has accelerated time. Success requires building institutions that can survive uncertainty and thrive amid rapid change, with managers humble enough to know they don't have all the answers, yet confident enough to lead their teams to find them together.